Take your Bible and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. All right, look in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. He says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you so much for our salvation. We are very blessed. But Lord, we know there are sometimes we go through hard times. Sometimes they're difficult. Sometimes they're just troublesome. Sometimes they bother us. And so we ask you, Lord, to help us to always focus on the positive things and the good things, even though that's hard at times if we're hurting. Help us, Lord, to follow you and serve you. We thank you for just the goodness that you give us each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The average person outside of Christ approaches God based on the fact that there's something in them that's worthy. They compare themselves with others, and they have their own kind of standard. And that standard can vary from person to person. And they often think of themselves as good, and they compare themselves with others and say, well, I'm better than they are, or I'm doing pretty good. And they approach God in that fashion. The problem is, God doesn't receive anyone in that fashion. Anyone who approaches God based on anything they do or how well you're doing is not God's arrangement. God's arrangement is to make us accepted through Christ. And we mentioned before that God planned before the foundation of the world to bring us up and make us holy in his presence. He planned then to make us his children so that we would be loved as his children. And now he tells us a very interesting thing. He says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, what he have just said, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Made us accepted in the Beloved. The word acceptance, one, just means to be accepted. You could come into his presence. But it means more than that. It refers to God's grace and undeserved love and goodness toward us. It's not just God accepts us, which he does, but he goes further. He lavishes his grace and his love upon us. We are accepted and loved by God. Because we are in Christ, we are beloved of God. Scripture says this about the Father saying about the Son. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God has an arrangement. He cannot accept us into his presence because we are sinful. Now, in our eyes, we may not think that's that bad. But as Rick said this morning, we may not murder, but there can still be the attitude in our hearts. All of us have fallen short. And even today, as I'm saved, God still cannot just accept me into his presence based on who I am because I'm still sinful. I still fall short. I still have attitudes that are not entirely the way God intended, and he's working to change those. So how can a holy God continue to accept us? It's because he regards us as being in Christ. All that Christ is, he considers us as being in him. Christ is seated at his right hand, and Christ has died for our sins. Christ is perfect, and he considers that we are in him, that what Christ has done is given to us. And he said here in Matthew that this is my beloved Son. The word beloved means to be loved. It means to be consistently loved. The Father loves the Son. The Son is well pleasing to him. The Son has lived perfectly when he came to earth. The Son died for our sins. And so he says he accepts us in the loved one. The loved one, Jesus Christ. He said in Colossians 1, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. We are going to take a trip to Washington, D.C., and we have to go through all these things to be able to get a trip, be able to go through the White House. They had to be checked out and a background study. But I know some people that know Secret Service personally. And because they know them, they've been able to get a special deal to get inside and see other things. I wish I knew one of those folks. But they're able to get in no matter who they are. Well, we're able to come into God's presence no matter who we are if we trusted in the Son, because the Son is pleasing to Him. The Son is loved by Him. And though I may come in as a Christian, I'm accepted, I'm loved. And though I may come in and still have some attitudes that aren't pleasing to God, God still accepts me and loves me and pours His grace upon me because He loves His Son. His Son was perfect. He says in Romans 1, to all that are in Rome, beloved of God, we are beloved because we are in His Son. We're loved by God because we're in His Son, and He loves His Son. Only Christ has the inherent right to all the goodness of God. But because we are identified with Him, that goodness now belongs to us. He says He has made us accepted, loved, graced, given goodness, but not because of us. Not because I'm a pastor. Not because I try to live right. The truth is that in God's eyes, I fall way short even today, because His holiness is high above even things I know about. And yet, how can I continue to go? Because I'm in His Son. The Father's arrangement is that the Son would take our place. The Father's arrangement is that the Son would live perfectly. And because the Father loves the Son, He loves us too. We don't come because of what we do. We come and we're favored, we are loved, we are graced, we're given goodness because we trusted in His Son. The little song says it this way: near, so very near to God, nearer I could not be, for in the person of His Son, I am just as near as He. Dear, so very dear to God, dearer I could not be, for in the person of His Son, I am just as dear as He. If you want to approach God in the proper fashion, you don't come to God based on you. You don't come and say, well, you know, now you may not say this, but you don't come into God's presence thinking, well, you know, I've done pretty good today. Or you don't go into His presence and say, oh boy, I really blew it. You come into His presence through His Son. Because He honors His Son and He loves His Son, He loves you. Now that doesn't mean there's a license to live as you want to, but you have to start the proper approach. Jesus said that you must pray in My name in John. How do we pray in Jesus' name? We pray in Jesus' name because we don't come in our name. I don't come and say, well, Lord, here it is, Tim Phillips. He said, well, I don't receive you that way. I come in the name of His Son. I've been made His child because of that. I've been presented holy. I've been accepted in the beloved one, Jesus Christ. And thus, He loves me and is for me and will never be against me. Now, fellowship and walking close with Him will involve making sure the heart and the life is right, but none of that ever establishes the first entrance into God's presence. We always come based upon His Son. I hear a lot of people talk about God today, and I don't mean you have to mention Jesus every time you talk about God, because we love God and we know, but I hear those out in the world talk about God and give their opinion of God. But oftentimes I don't hear them honoring the Son, honoring who the Son is, honoring the lovedness of the Son, of who He has done, Jesus Christ, and who He is. When you come to God, you don't come based on you. You come because, Lord, I've trusted in Jesus Christ, and I honor Him. I come in His name, in His authority, and who is He is. And I know You receive me, and I know You accept me, and I know You love me. Now, when I'm in His presence, Lord, we may have to deal with some dirt inside, but even that we deal with because of the Son and what He has done. So He says, He hath made us accepted in the loved one. I've used this before, but whenever I've gone back to home or gone back to where I've grown up, and once people find out, oh, you're Tim Phillips, they automatically, who knew my father, accept me. They just love me, hug my neck, said, man, boy, I tell you, you grew up. Why? They don't even remember me. They remember me, but they haven't known me for all these years. Why? Because they knew my father. And they appreciate me and who he was through my father. Well, it's the same way with God. The Father appreciates and loves us because we come in the name of his Son. He smiles and is pleased with his Son. Thus, he is pleased for us to come into his presence. You need to come to God on the basis of Christ and honor Christ and who he is and never be ashamed. Because Romans 8 says, because now that we have justified through Christ, he is now for us and nothing will ever separate us from his love. Even if we falter and fail and are not perfect, he'll deal with that. But he deals with it as a child and he deals with us as being part of his family. He deals with it because he accepts us through his Son. The second thing he says in verse 7, he says, in whom, notice once again, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. Redemption is a word that goes back to then when they had slaves that they bought who were in bondage and they delivered them and set them free. That's the idea of the word. And it means that Christ paid the price, his death upon the cross, to free us, to save us from sin. It is a deliverance. Christ just makes us accepted. And the Father, we notice in the first three verses, 3 through 6, are about the Father making it possible to us be accepted. Now he talks about the Son who makes it possible for us to be accepted. And the first thing he provides is redemption, the freedom from sin. We're under bondage. I just get amused today. I get amused at people. Did you hear the story of a young little four-year-old, might have been a five-year-old in kindergarten, and he brought his lunch from his mother. And he had it in his little lunch pail, just a little boy. And in his lunch pail, his mother had given him a couple of little cookies, Oreo cookies. And the teacher saw that and said, no, you cannot eat those. That is not on the approved menu. And so the little boy was not able to eat them, and he took them home, and he told his parents and said they wouldn't let me eat them. Well, the mother was rather upset and went and talked to him and said, I'm sorry, but we only allow healthy menu, and eating two Oreo cookies is not healthy. And, you know, I thought about that, and I thought, well, you know, they're so bent out of shape that they won't allow a five-year-old to eat a couple of cookies. And yet, if you heard the things they teach them in secular schools, I'm not saying here, heard the things they teach them and the wickedness, I want to say, you people are all messed up in the brain. But the truth is, mankind needs saving. You and I need saving. I mentioned that I got saved early. Was not allowed to, my sinfulness didn't express itself in its full fashion. But I can tell you of grace, because had it not been for the grace of Christ and not been grace of the family I was born in, I know as I studied the scripture, boy, Lord, I might not have done that one, but boy, if it hadn't been for Christ, I would have done that one. I see it, the attitude in my heart. We need deliverance. The Bible says in Ephesians, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Most people don't realize that those outside of Christ are dead, unresponsive. You say, I don't understand why I can't get so-and-so to church. Well, maybe they're not saved. Maybe they don't have Christ in their life, and thus they're dead in their sinfulness. He says, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He says also in verse 12 that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth in Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Outside of Christ, we have no hope. We're dead. We don't care about God. We're not interested in God. And apart from Him, the expression of sinfulness you're now seeing. It is like we've opened the cage and we've let the tigers out. Because there's no longer any boundaries. And now you're seeing it in full expression, the sinfulness of humanity. He says in Ephesians 4, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth not walk as the unsaved do, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. We needed to be saved, to be redeemed, to be delivered, to be changed. To have the Holy Spirit come and live in us so that He would build a different quality in us. He says in Titus, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, He doesn't mean a strange people. He means a different kind of people. I needed to be delivered. I got saved at 9 and I needed to be delivered. And today I still need to be delivered. From the attitudes of the heart and the coldness and the indifference that sometimes grabs a hold of the heart and go, oh, the Bible's not as interesting, or I don't want to pray as much, and I don't want to depend on the Lord. That coldness that creeps in. We all need that deliverance, and that's what Christ did. He brought redemption. Did you notice the second thing it said, though? He brought redemption through His blood. Through His blood. What does that mean? Well, the blood in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, is the life of the body. And so when the Bible talks about the shedding of blood, it means the giving of the life, that Christ died in our place. It says in Matthew 26 that we do the Lord's Supper. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of the forgiveness of sins. When the Bible talks about the blood of Christ, it means that is an indicative of that He shed, He died in our place. He incurred the eternal, everlasting penalty for sin. I often think sometimes when some famous people who did not claim to know God, and they pass away, and then everybody honors them, and they're praised and all that, and I often think, Lord, I wonder if they just slipped out into eternity not knowing Christ, and they've missed it all. Though they're honored here on earth, they've missed it all in eternity. Well, how do we not miss it? Because Christ shed His blood. His life was given, and He was put to death in my place, in your place, so that when we trust in Him, that penalty for our sin is now removed. He said in 1 Peter, as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He says we were not redeemed by money. We were redeemed by the life given of Jesus Christ. And that redemption saves us from the penalty of sin. If I slip out into eternity, one day when I slip out into eternity, I will go to be with the Lord, not because there's something good in me, not because I'm a good person, but because I trusted in Christ and He paid the penalty. He gave His life. His blood was shed. And God says, forgiven of all of your sins, and now you come into my presence. It says this in Revelation, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, everyone having their harps and the vials of odors, which were the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by the blood of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. When they get ready to take the book that opens up the sealed scroll of the end times, who's worthy? It's Christ. Why? Because He was slain and He has redeemed us. And he says, from every kindred, tongue, people, nation, from all over the world, from all through time in heaven, you're not only going to see your loved ones who've trusted in Christ, but you're going to see all those through history. You're going to see a great number of people who've been saved because Christ was slain, his life was given, and we have been delivered and redeemed out of our sinfulness. The Bible says in Romans 3, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Propitiation means to take the wrath of God through his blood. Why? The blood signifies the life that was given. When death comes, for a Christian, you need not fear. Because when we've trusted in Christ, we've been delivered. We've been delivered from the guilt of sin. We're no longer judged anymore. We are being delivered from the power of it. One day he'll take us home and we'll be completely delivered. But there's that redemption that comes to us in Christ through him. And through him we're accepted and loved. And God is for us and pleased with it. Now he may have to deal with attitudes in our heart, because that's the part of that we have to separate. The being accepted but the fellowship are two different things. When my wife and I got married, we were married. That's it. We're married. Now, we may have to work at close fellowship as time goes along, but we're still married. We're in Christ and we're accepted by him. We have to allow God to work in us, to change us and mold us, but even that doesn't make us accepted. We don't live and climb the ladder and, boy, I'm getting better and better. Yes, we are, but we don't get better and better and better. Oh, now God accepts me. No, God accepted me at age 9 just as much as he accepts me now. I haven't added one thing to it. I've added growth, maturity, a closer walk with him, but I was just accepted when I trusted as I am today, because we're accepted in Christ and we've been redeemed. He says, and also we have the forgiveness of sins. We'll talk about that later. We've been delivered. We've been redeemed. We've been accepted. If there's anything I could ever teach you that being a Christian means, that God is for you, never against you. That being a Christian, God looks down with favor and grace and acceptance and love and kindness because you've trusted in his son. His son is what pleases him. Now that doesn't mean, well, I've got a license now to live any way I want to. No. When I got married, that didn't mean, well, I live any way I want to. That's the first step, and we are now joined together. When we trust in Christ, he accepts me, he's for me. Now don't worry about it. He'll deal with you. He'll convict you. He'll work in your life. But even in that, you're still his child. He still loves you. He's still for you. He's still with you. He's still behind you. That's why I said when we spoke on trials test your faith. Not your salvation, but they test your faith. Okay, Lord, if you love me, why is all this happening? They test that faith. Oh, you know, on the one hand, I know God loves me and he's for me, but on the other hand, why is he letting all this bad stuff happen? And the Bible says in James, it's a test. It's a test of our faith. Oh, my goodness. Am I going to still believe God loves me even though this bad stuff's happening? Sometimes some people said, if it weren't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. Well, that's not a good perspective towards God. But that's why trials challenge us and test us. Oh, boy, Lord, I know you love me. But you need to realize every day, and I try to realize every day, Lord, I come into your throne room. I'm just me. Seated at your right hand is your son who pleases you, who you love. And I come in his name and his authority. And I want you to make a difference in my life and change me and mold me. We're going to get to go this summer. Hopefully we'll get to go through the White House. If you know me and you haven't seen me, when I go some places and see things, I'm like a little child. The first time we went there and we drove by and we saw the White House, And we went up there. Hannah just kept looking at me like, is this my daddy? I was like a little child. It was thrilling to me because of the historical thing. If we get to go, you better believe I'm going to be thrilled. All right, what's your name? Tim Phillips. You sure you did a background check? I'm not a terrorist. I'm okay. I'm going to go in just as thrilled as I can be. And once I get in, the Secret Service are going to let me stay, not because of anything I am, because I've been checked out and everything's okay. And we'll get to walk right out the front door. And if a TV camera's out there, I'm going to wave at you. Hey, look at me. The same way with God. You get to walk into the throne room, not physically, but by faith, and know that God smiles upon you. Oh, I love you so much. I love you. I'm for you. If you could know the billions of things I've been doing behind the scenes that you've never seen, but I'm doing them. You know why? Because you trusted in my son, and my son pleases me. My son honors me. My son paid the price. And because you're in my son, I'm with you and I'm for you and I am never against you. Now, we may have to work on a few attitudes you have, but that's only to have fellowship and closeness with me. But I'm still for you. Let's pray. Father, we love you today and we thank you for the cross. We thank you for our Savior. We thank you for the goodness. I pray that all of us would practice this, that when we pray, we come in the name and the merit of Christ, and we start there. If we would, Lord, and experience grace, then there'd be something that works in our heart that wants to make us better. But if we just come in our works, we won't care, because after all, in our minds, we're good enough. But Lord, if we come in the name of Christ, there'll be a work of grace that will motivate us to want to be pleasing because you love us and accept us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.